Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. This episode, I'm going off script. Most of what I do in these episodes, I'd have an A4 page in front of me with certain points that I want to get through. Certain bits I might read off even verbatim just if I want to get it really ultra precise, but the majority is I keep in the flow of inspiration. This episode here, it's like I have two words in front of me, two karmas. I'm going to kick from there. It's jumping into the flow of, you know, absolute inspiration coming from within me. This one is coming from an inspiration from Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. At the beginning of each meeting, myself or the acting leader, we set an intention for the meeting, and it's coming from a juicy intention that has been coming really live for me personally this week. So I'm bringing it here. The Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, written by Sogyal Rinpoche, a Tibetan Buddhist Lama, he's dead now. I derived great inspiration from it and continue to do so. I dip in and out. It definitely opened my mind, my heart, my soul, my nervous system up to an awareness of consciousness, presence, the inner workings of my mind, and how that's ultimately my entire outer reality comes from my inner reality. And by extension, your entire outer reality comes from your inner reality, the workings of your mind. The particular part of the teachings in the book that I'd like to bring forward here is in the chapter of finding your spiritual teachers, finding your guru. That's like the words, your spiritual master within the Tibetan Buddhist lineage. Now, I want to just asterisk here. It's, you know, sometimes there can be laughs, guys. Like we do a lot of shadow humor behind the scenes, one-on-one clients, guys in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. There's almost like this movement joke on the inside sort of going, oh, it's like it's a cult, the guru and all of this. But joking aside, not a fucking cult. It's powerful, badass guys, myself, leaders in training, acting leaders, men. It's like a bunch of dudes, you know, with an irregular commitment to do irregularly deep inner work, and we go from there. So, like, fuck the guru style. But coming from that inspiration from the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying and the teachings, it's like the author, and he was reporting that this is like a widespread wisdom within Buddhist teachings, is there's two karmas when coming to the Buddhist path. One karma you need to create is the karma to meet your teacher, to meet the teachings. And the second karma that you need to create is the karma to stick it out to the full completion of your journey along the teachings. So karma, am I too humbly try and describe what karma is? I'll do my butchered, ignorant best. Karma are all the conditions in your, we'll simplify it to one lifetime, if your belief system will allow you go there, multiple lifetimes. But let's keep it to one lifetime, so hopefully all we can keep it practical and all belief systems can come along for the ride. It's all the thoughts, all the words, all the actions you've taught in this lifetime. It's every single person that you have met and the domino effect in your nervous system as a result of those experiences, those people, their thoughts, their emotion around you, their caring for you, not caring for you, etc., etc. So it's karma is like the sum total of everything that's happening in your existence. And it's like the karma that you create to meet the path is, you know, it's like, there's those moments when, oh, you read a book. I still remember that moment when, you know, I went to the mind-body-spirit section. I've spoke about this in earlier episodes of the podcast. You know, like that first time, I felt a freak of nature. I felt helpless. I felt alone. I felt a failure. There was this part of me deeply shamed going, looking over my shoulders, like, what if one of the guys from college, from the football team, rugby, what if they see me? They're going to laugh. They're going to know I'm failing, blah, 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 blah. But I created that karma by actually just snatching that one book off the shelf, and I haven't looked back. I've hundreds of books later, podcasts, my deep work, my deep men's work, etc. Met my wife in between, blah, 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 blah. So there's that karma, to meet the teacher where you plant a seed. Mine was like I read the book, and just to piggyback on this, this is directly relevant to your karma to meet your wife. You know, you have the karma to meet your wife. It's like the sum total of every single thing that you have experienced in your life's experience. Your likes, your dislikes, your passions, your wants, the things you don't want, preferences. You get it. The whole jumble of that from childhood conditioning, from whether you like it or not, whether it's been conducive or not, like you are the sum total of the way your nervous system has interpreted and added meaning to all the experiences you've had in your environment and what that meant in the inside, blah, 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 blah. But you create a karma to meet your wife. You have that first courageous moment when, hey, you express your, hey, let's go on a date, or you express your feelings, or you take a chance, you hold her by the hand, whatever, like whatever that start off point is, you created the karma to get to the point where you did it traditional style. I didn't do it that style, but it's like down on one knee or whatever. You did your version, and she said, yeah, let's give this a try, let's go for it. So you create the karma to kick off a marriage. Pretty much, I'm assuming every guy listening in is like, you've done that. Be the husband she brags about is the so you have husband status. So you created a karma to do that. Now, the second karma that you need to create from the Buddhist teacher's perspective is you need to then create the karma to follow that path of self-mastery to the end. Now, this is the juice. You know, the same thing in marriage, and this is why I'm bringing this episode and why I've been setting the intentions in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles on this is, you know, it's one thing to create the karma. It can be relatively easy to create the karma to get married. Relatively easy. And it's relatively easy as compared to what? The second karma that you need to create, which is to see your marriage, that journey of self-mastery to the end, to the full completion with your queen. And you know, in the Buddhist teachings, it's like it's one thing to meet a teacher, and here's why the second karma in on your spiritual journey, and like there's an entire chapter dedicated to it in the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, because these Tibetan masters knew it's like the first karma, you know, somebody comes to the teachings. It's all passion. It's all excitement. I remember that, like reading them first. It's like, oh, you know, it's like, fuck, wow, you know, these insights. Oh, my thoughts, they're not me. My emotions, they're not me. I'm awareness. I'm consciousness. You know, I was sort of floating around, sort of thinking I was the Dalai Lama in, you know, like in my ignorance. I was like, you know, fuck, this is so empowering. Yes. And then, as Sagar Rinpoche at the time, like, reflected back in one of the retreats, it's like then you hit the kitchen sink. He's like the kitchen sink on the Buddhist path. He sees it. He was seeing it all the time. It's like when people go from the first year, couple of months, you know, maybe even a couple of years of, oh, this is all amazing, doing a meditation, going for it, like, oh, I'm so into Buddhism. Yes, what a path. The kitchen sink is the bit where the gnarly cunty part of your psyche comes to the surface. And funnily enough, John Wineland, a teacher of masculine and feminine dynamics that I really like, he says that on average it's like you've got a sort of like a 2 year window at the beginning of a relationship where it can sort of relatively seem like all, you know, all is good. You know, it's like there's that sort of initial, like coming to the Buddhist path, or it's like it's all cool, it's all excitement, because the excitement, the freshness of it, the novelty, still getting to know about each other, blah, 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 it can get you so much. But here's the thing, what creates the greatest difficulty to then continue being in love with that person, loving this relationship, loving what it brings into your human experience? And what's the same difficulty with the Buddhist path? And it's any path. You know, I was doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu before, and statistically speaking, I forget the exact breakdown, but so if there's any Brazilian jiu-jitsu fanatics out there, send me an email on that. So I know I might be butchering, but it's astounding to hear the amount of people that start as white belt. That's the first belt you show up tomorrow as an adult in a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym around the world to be like, hey, you're a white belt. You know, it's like last man in, you're a white belt. Then you go to blue belt, purple belt, brown belt, and then black belt. It's not the end of the game, but it's the sort of like the ultimate end goal. You know, when you come in as a white belt, it's all about the black belts. It's not really, but you get it. There's this hierarchy. There's an astounding amount of people that just stay at white belt. And then there's quite a chunk of people go to blue belt. But the difference between white belt to blue belt and blue belt to purple belt, the amount of people, the percentage of people that drop at the blue belt level is massive. More people drop at the blue belt level, if I remember it correct, than at any other transition. Why? Because psychologically, we find it easy in the beginning. Aramvasura is this word. I don't think it's Buddhist. It might be Hindu. It's a word in Sanskrit. Anyway, it's Eastern mystical traditions speak about it. It's this word that teachers have, that Aramvasura is like good in the beginning. And they all recognize this human tendency, behavioral tendency to, it's like, yeah, meditation, yeah, the spiritual path. And, you know, feel into your marriage experience and your parenting experience. It's like, yeah, you know, new baby, wow. You know, yeah, fresh love. Oh, she's the one for me. Down on one knee, happily ever after. The dreams, the visions, the hope. I won't be like my mom and dad. You know, there was all of that pain, and this is going to be different. You know, and you have that freshness, and then fast forward. You know, 2 years later, 3 years later, in marriage. Fast forward 2-3 years later into parenting. Where the fuck are you? Where's your nervous system then? And get real with yourself. I know myself, it's like the freshness of love in the beginning. I can look back and go, man, there was a ton happening underneath the surface. And if you get really honest with yourself, there's a lot of stuff that we sort of ignore that's bubbling. Like you already know that there's certain parts of your queen that you don't really like, but you sort of nice guy style and won't have an honest conversation. Maybe we can just sugarcoat over that. There's enough good to bring us through. But then the gnarly shit comes out, the frustrations come out, and comes out as aggressive judgments, or you start stonewalling, and then many of us end up waking up, and like we're 10 years in, we wake up 20 years in, 30 years in, and we're like, where did the love go? This is where the second karma comes in, and it's the most important karma. It's one thing to tick the box and have the, you know, tick the easiest box. Find a woman. Okay, it's not simple, I know. It can be really challenging, but it's relatively simple compared to the long term, the second karma, to wine, dine, charm, fucking sweep her off her feet, put out the persona, put out the chest, you know, by the power of positive influence, get your shit together that, you know, you influence her into saying, yeah, let's fucking give it a go. The second karma, that's the brutal game of deep inner work. And the freshness, the enthusiasm, the motivated talks, you know, the 5-10 minute YouTube motivation, get at it, you're unstoppable, all of this shit. That's fucking useless. It's good to get a dopamine run for 10 minutes, might even get an afternoon off it. But when you come back to your queen again and again, and her face, her nervous system is reflecting back to you, she's not receiving you, she's not trusting you. You know, she doesn't want you. She's criticizing you. There's a hardness there where once there was softness, once there was, her eyes lit up when you came in the door. Her voice would be soft. It'd be loving. She was caring. There was affection. There was a flow between you. Now there's not much, and you don't know how to bring that back. You are sitting in the realm of the second karma that you must create. In this movement, you know, my personal approach of what has worked for me, regular dude, ignorant as fuck. I mean, guys, I look back at the me of 5, 6 years ago, and oh my God, how I dumped responsibility onto my queen's shoulders for, it's like I'd semi taking feedback, semi taking responsibility is zero. Just being real, you know, 100%, what is it, 99% is a bitch, 100% is a breeze. When you take extreme ownership, it's you're taking 100%, that's it. What works and what is masculine practice is taking extreme ownership of your thoughts, your words, your actions. They're the three creative tools available to you. You're thinking, you're talking, you're taking action. The three T's. Thinking, talking, taking action. In and underneath all of that is your emotional state. Really important factor of it all. So it's like, in many senses, it's the four creative tools available to you. It's your masculine role to face fully that your situation now is reflecting back your karma of where you're thinking, you're talking, and you're taking action, and the unowned emotional state that has been driving all of those emotion, energy in motion, the energy state, the snapshot of the energy state that you has been your default in marriage, default in parenting, default in married life, default as you go out the door to work, default energy in work. All of that, it's on you. And your queen, your kids, your married life, you know, the money in the bank account, your friendships or lack of, your physical fitness, you look down if there's a big belly. Well, hey, like, whatever. If you're living out your dreams, if you're living or if you're working at a job that, man, you just hate and the only reason you're doing it is like to get money in to pay the mortgage, and you resent your married life, you resent your queen because you're doing this and she doesn't, you know, she doesn't express gratitude for you every single evening, every single night, because look at me, I'm sacrificing like a martyr, you know, I'm doing this for ye. You know, you shouldn't be giving me shit. If that's your type of reality, then that's okay. That was like a snapshot of my own lived reality. And I know a lot of guys coming in, there's a lot of resentment bubbling away in the background. But you need to step. You don't have to do it for me. You don't have to do it for your, like, for anybody. You know, it's like, whatever. But if you want to enjoy the infinite game of what self-mastery along the path of marriage can bring you, can gift your queen, your kids, your whole life, your body, your health, your emotional state, well, you've got to look at the karma, the second karma. You've already ticked the box of the first karma. Cool. If you've got kids, well, hey, you sort of, I assume you figured now how that works. You do a certain thing biologically with your queen, out pops a baby. You know, if you have the good fortune that both of you, that the biology allows that. Creating that karma is one thing. The second karma is you are ultimately responsible for doing whatever is necessary within your human power to look at your current reality. And if there's a part of it, lots of it, that you're like, man, this is not nice. The love isn't there. That's like, there's a ton of stuff I don't like, or a little bit of stuff I don't like. There's resentment. There's regret in the background. Whatever. She's not happy. I'm not fully happy. God, the sex life, our kids, fuck, why do they not respect me? Blah, blah, blah. And like, all of that's okay. I'm not mocking any of that. I'm still working parenting, still working marriage, still working. Not perfect at all. But it is your masculine responsibility. It is like masculine pole. It's leadership is at the core of great masculine practice. The only man you can trust in the room is the man that is the mountain in his own storm. He has come to a point of radical acceptance of himself. The good, the bad, the ugly. There's no hiding from any of it. You'll feel that his voice is deeper. His posture is stiller. His breathing deeper. He doesn't retreat. He doesn't attack. He's there. He's been there. He's seen his own hell. And if he hasn't recoiled from his own hell inside of himself, funnily enough, he's not going to recoil when his queen gets narky, gets roiled up, gets, you know, resentment is flowing through her. He's going to be like, hey, she's needing to go there. She's needing to flow with that. I'm not going to take any of this personal. But the man that has done that has answered the challenge set by creating the second karma. And that's my challenge to you, is get fucking honest with yourself and see how much resistance is flowing through your nervous system at assuming the responsibility that is being set before you. If you're experiencing resistance, from huge resistance, huge regret, all the way down to, yeah, things are okay, man, but like it's just not like where I'd want to be. Well, there's resistance there. And if you're listening in, there is resistance. Nobody is listening in going, I have it fucking nailed. I'm like, sexual bliss. Communication is awesome. Parenting is awesome. Like getting real. Like, why the fuck would you be listening in? And if that is your experience, I've said it before, send me an email. I'll pay you for coaching me. If you're listening, you're not there. I'm not there. Genuinely. Not there. I love playing the game of like continually challenging myself, recreating that karma, recreating again and again and again. If you're not enjoying any of what's showing up on the outside, well then I would say to you that's a definite sign that you're resisting creating the karma that's necessary to fully commit to that path. I had an experience there this week, and I have my own deep men's work container with my best friend from men's work over the last number of years. Like, we're 3 years doing exceptionally deep men's work together, and he's a man, I trust him with every single thing. Like, I let my shit loose. He challenged me. It's fucking awesome. And but I was telling him there this morning in our weekly meeting, I shared with him about an experience I had with my queen, with my kids. As a result, and there's no excusing, it's like simple black and white mechanisms and systems. The movement is growing. There's radical success happening. New groups, new leaders in training, new guys coming aboard. It's like at this classic point where, hey, I'm stretched thin, and like rapidly, as quick as I can, formulating the system to allow the next wave of growth. It's exciting times within the Heroic Husbands movement. And you guys listening in, you're a part of this, the next level for the podcast to bring more listens in, etc., etc. But my mental energy has been spread thin because there's exceptional levels of really deep focus that for a few of my work days, it's like it's going far beyond the sort of maximum available. You know, scientifically, it's like 4 hours capped. That's the deep focused work time, and then just soft, super mundane admin stuff. I'm doing like 6, 7, 8 hour days of really deep focus. So I've been mentally shot anyway. This brought about a deep conflict, a gnarly conversation. Was in the car going over to a local town to get certain supplies for our horses. Our kids were in the back, and I didn't have the energy to hold presence, to practice the level of extreme ownership. It wasn't available. I was trying my best, but the energy just wasn't there. And it just got into one of those gnarly things. Actually, to be honest with you, my queen was giving me a lot of feedback because, hey, my focus wasn't there. She's like, you're doing this thing for the movement, but hey, you're dropping the ball here. It's like, that's just totally out of integrity. I was rationally trying to answer back. It was getting deeper and deeper into conflict, and it was upsetting your girls. Long story short, the girls called, hey, let's go out for dinner on the way back home. I since recognized it's like they were trying to diffuse the tension between mom and dad. And we ended up going in. Long story short, bought dinner, bought like this 18 euro fucking meal for one of her daughters. Once it was served, she's like, I'm not hungry. My queen was like at her, it's like, oh, you like, you know, you can't do that. And I'm sitting there, I was in silence, and then, guys, total mental exhaustion. It just came to me. I'm like, I shut the fuck up for a couple of moments. And I was like, Mark, what are you not taking extreme ownership of here? I was like, it was a shit show on the outside, and it just came to me. You know, you didn't get off to bed last night. You didn't get your 8 hours sleep. You didn't get the snack in between meetings. That meant you were hungry, and you didn't take your afternoon nap. You did some pleasing things. You did a please the feminine thing. It's like you jumped into the car, but you didn't take that 13-minute nap. I was like, a whole load of different awarenesses came into me. And then I just said, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. I opened up, said to my queen, it's like, hey, stop the conversation with Anya. It's not Anya's fault. She's feeling the tension. It's like you're taking it out on Anya unwittingly, but it's like, baby, I'm the one. Blame me. And my queen softened immediately. It's like, I'm the one that fucked up. I'm the one. It's not Anya. She's just sick of the tension of the last hour and a half in the car. And my daughter started crying straight away. It's like she felt seen and heard. It's like, is that true, Anya? And like she cried some more. And then we had this complete softening. And then, you know, 60 seconds later, I have both of them laughing because I'm like, hey, blame me. What do you want to blame in me? And like my queen said, hey, I'm going to blame you for being ignorant. I'm going to blame you for, like, you know, getting defensive. I'm going to blame you for not taking your nap. And my daughter was like, oh, I'm going to blame you. You know, the only reason I'm here, I wasn't hungry. I was just trying to get you to stop being idiots together. And I was like, yeah, blame me, blame me. We're laughing. We're laughing open-heartedly a couple of minutes later. It's fucking beautiful, guys. That's only available to me, that capacity, from recreating again and again the karma to see this path to full fruition. And that the price of entry is taking extreme ownership. If you are not enjoying some parts to many parts of your married life experience, sex life, the communication, the lack of communication, the affection, your capacity to, you know, argue together in a tactful, beautiful way that keeps coming back to connection, where the bond of trust is actually enlivened and deepened every time after conflict, because you come to know more about your truth, your queen comes to know more about her truth, and hey, conflict with kids, them as well. If that's not your experience, and it's not for the vast majority, I know I'm hearing the stories behind the scenes, and that's okay. It's coming energetically, psychologically, fucking spiritually, because you're not lining up your nervous system with your spiritual task and responsibility. Your ability to respond is to take extreme ownership of creating the karma necessary. And if karma is not the word, creating the conditions necessary in your life now on all levels, taking care of your own psychology, your own energy, your own emotional needs. You know, Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. There's still spaces there, guys. A phenomenal choice to go in there and get that level of support so you can have the full accountability and support in creating those conditions. But it's everything in your life. Creating the conditions in your work. You know, if you don't like it, well, take little steps and often to, you know, be able to shift that. Not communicating with your queen. Shut the fuck up and start listening. And then from the evidence that comes, you're going to get the next pieces of the jigsaw that are going to be meaningful. Get humble with your kids. Play more often. You know, put your fucking phone down. Get present with them. Start leading the conversations and setting the systems up. Start the protection. I'm talking about presence, progress, and protection. So it's like the entire podcast is about, it's all about that creating the karma to see it through to the end. You've ticked the first box on many different things. But to see this through to the end in marriage, in your journey in jiu-jitsu, in your journey to get fit, in your journey spiritually, you know, if you're Buddhist or, you know, Christian, whatever, in whatever endeavor of self-mastery. And self-mastery is the core of true, beautiful, masculine practice and existence. You gotta create the karma. You gotta create the conditions, the environment on your outside, the systems with your queen and your parenting and your inner systems to have that radical self care and a radical feedback on your blind spots. That is necessary. And when you start paying the price to create the karma to see it through to the end, that will spread into your whole existence, and you will be setting yourself up for your last breath in this human existence in this form. That will be the juiciest, most surrendered breath of peace, of love, of acceptance, of you came, you saw, you conquered. You will know in that moment, you know, you bled your heart and soul. Your blood, sweat and tears were deeply meaningful all the way along. You played your music. Your full authentic truth came out. Or not. Or that last breath will be a breath of hard, resistant regret, looking back with resentment because you didn't come, you didn't show up, you didn't pay the price necessary for creating the fucking karma to bring your authentic truth, your queen's authentic truth, your kid's authentic truth, and then set a legacy coming after you where they go, that man, he cut the chain of trauma. He cut. He took it on his shoulders. He snapped out of victimhood and he took responsibility. You know, the cross of destiny is yours. The cross of destiny is in any given moment. What road are you going to go down? Victimhood? Blame the world? The world, you're entitled for it to just show up? Well, that leads to one deathbed scene. The second path is the path least taken. It's the path of the heroic husband in this culture, in this language. And that is the path least taken of taking extreme ownership to create, to do whatever is necessary to create the karma, to see your self-mastery path true to full completion in your marriage journey, parenting journey, and inner world journey to the end. The end game, maybe not spiritually, depending on your belief system, is the last breath on your deathbed. How you meet that is made from your decisions today, going forward, in perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.